He is risen.
He is
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for Easter sunrise comes from our Old Testament reading of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people may go through the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." In the name of Jesus.
I know.
It's kind of a strange text to be preaching on for Easter. Why not the gospel reading of John, you might be thinking? Why not talk about Jesus and the resurrection? Valid point, I suppose. So I guess we'll get there. In fact, we might actually even start there. But let's not think that Israel and the Red Sea don't have anything to do with Jesus and the resurrection. They do. Of course they do. For all of Scripture is about Jesus, about who he is and what he's accomplished. And so this, too, even this, is about him. It's about him for you. So let's get to the empty tomb. What do you say? The last time some of us gathered together, it was Holy Saturday. It was last night. The church was keeping vigil at the tomb. Jesus' body was still in the ground, but the promise was that that tomb would soon lay bare. And for others, the last time we gathered, Jesus' lifeless body was being taken down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, a number of other women had made a procession to the tomb, had wrapped Jesus up tight in burial cloths, just like you do for the dead. They hadn't been expecting the miracle of Easter morning, although Jesus had certainly told them enough about it. But let's not give him too hard a time. Doubtless any one of us would have done any better. Even after Mary Magdalene, Peter and John see the empty tomb, they can't comprehend what's happening. Their minds go to the rational. Someone has moved Jesus' body. That's the only thing that makes sense. But we know different. We know different because we've heard this story so many times. It's what Paul talks about in our epistle reading. He and the other apostles received a message of utmost importance to proclaim that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. Christ's death and resurrection is the cornerstone of the church. It is the faith that we have received. It is the hope that we cling to. But what about that Old Testament reading for today? Sure, the Exodus was the most important salvific event in all of the Old Testament. It's proof of God's love for his people and the perfect picture of what God was going to accomplish in real time, in real space, when he became man. But does it speak to the resurrection? Well, let's begin first with the very first thing that God says to Moses. "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to move forward." Driven to the Red Sea by the entire host of Pharaoh, the people had come to the shore and they're completely terrified. They see no way of escape. Behind them is certain death. Before them is an impassable gulf. What are they to do? And for God, it's obvious. Move forward. It's like it's a foregone conclusion. The only way to go is through the Red Sea. What appears to be impossible is the very thing that the Israelites must do, and they do it in faith. Faith in the promise that God will rescue them from an impossible situation, because everything else other than faith screams at them that they're lost. God, he says the same thing to us. And here I'm not referring to the things that we go through in our lives that seem to be hard and impossible. I'm not speaking about trials and tribulations that we endure as if God's just telling us to put one foot in front of the other, knowing that he'll provide. That's true. He will certainly provide. But this text, it can speak even more specifically to what Easter is all about. For Easter is not about overcoming life's trials and tribulations. Easter is about overcoming death itself. And so when the Christian is staring at the grave, it's like the Israelites staring at the Red Sea. waves crashing against the shore, an impossibly impassable gulf stretching out from one side to the next. The Israelites come to that place and they think that they could not make it to the other side. It's far beyond their ability to comprehend. Even after they had seen everything that they had back in Egypt, with all of the 10 plagues, each building upon the next, every one of them tearing down a foreign false god, culminating in the Passover feast, which finally set them free from captivity. Even after all of that, with a hurdle so big as the Red Sea, you can easily understand why it was that they couldn't, for the life of them, comprehend what they were to do next and how they were going to get out of this jam. And yet, when God speaks with Moses, it's as if he were saying, after everything that I've done for you already, do you think that I would forsake you now? Of course not. I will bring you through the Red Sea. I will complete your salvation from all of your enemies. You will make it to the other side. And the enemies that you see today, you will never see again. And so, miracle of all miracles, Moses stretches out his staff over the sea, and it's divided. Great giant walls of water towering up on either side of them. Ground once soaked and muddy, now dry as the desert to tread upon. The impossible, now made possible. But not just possible, impossibly not impossible. The angel of the Lord himself standing between the Egyptian hordes and the children of God, allowing them safe travel from one side to the next. The journey no more difficult than an afternoon stroll through a garden. And what's more amazing is that making it to the other side is only half of the miracle. God hardens the Egyptians' hearts. It's as if they don't even notice the miracle that took place right in front of them. They dive headlong into the sea, hoping to come out the other side and overtake their prey. But the Lord would have none of it. When the last of the Egyptians have made their way down into the sea, every last horse, every last chariot in the midst of the gulf, the ground turns to mud, the captors are now the captive. There is no escape for them, as terror flashes behind their eyes with the knowledge that they are powerless to stop the Lord who fights for his children. And so the waters come crashing down, swallowing these enemies, not a single one of them escaping. And God's people sing for joy to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. Hopefully, by now you're coming to an understanding of what the Israelites' Red Sea crossing has to say to you this Easter morning. But if not, let me elaborate. God has already won the victory for you. There's nothing more that has to be done. Christ has been crucified. The Paschal Lamb has been slain. His blood marking you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And all throughout your earthly life, God has and will sustain you, provide for you, taken care of you. He has led you out of captivity to sin and the power of the devil, forgiving you every single step of the way, sharing the Paschal feast of his body and his blood, given and shed for you, time and time again, even right here this morning as well. The Passover of Christ's death on the cross has already set you free. And so now you move forward to the Red Sea. And that last and final enemy that stands before you is greater and more daunting than anything that you've met before. But on that day in which you come to the shores of death, after all that the Lord has done for you, do you think that he's going to abandon you in the grave? Of course not. This great and mighty enemy is no match for your God. And so while you would be doomed apart from him, you are assured salvation with him. When death is at your door, your Lord will say to you, "Move forward. I will get you to the other side. I will wall up the waters around you, make your path smooth and dry, and lead you through. At your death, I will stand between you and eternal death, so that it cannot touch you and will never overtake you. And then when I bring you to the other side, to the glories of heaven, and I call your body out of the grave at the resurrection of all flesh, I will cause death itself to charge into that grave, and I will seal it up forever, along with all your sin and the demons of hell too. That's my promise for you. Fear not. I, the Lord, will fight for you that day. And then, after God accomplishes all this salvation for us, for you and I, and all God's children, we'll gather at the shores on the other side. We'll cry out with a loud voice. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Death and sin and the devil, he is thrown into the sea. He is risen.